Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
Welcome to Right Stream Tuesday on this lovely December 17th. This is your host, Daria Ann. I am an independent author, ghostwriter, editor, blogger, social media professional, and founder of the Right Stream Radio Network, where we are rejoicing in the flow of creativity. And I'll tell you, I cannot believe it's December 17th already. Time just seems to fly, and especially this time of the year. It seems like as soon as we get close to Halloween, the year just goes by in a heartbeat. So I want to welcome you to the show, and I am so excited about my guest this afternoon. I'm just absolutely thrilled that she could be here today. She is so multi-talented and so inspiring. We're going to cover a lot of different things today, including writing and how to really turn your passion into a successful business, because that is exactly what Dawn Garcia has done. And so I see she's on the line. So without further ado, I want to just talk a little bit about her company, and then I'm going to read her bio, and we'll go ahead and bring her on the air so she can tell us all about herself and her wonderful work. And you guys can feel free to call in with questions. The call-in number here is 347-945-7246. Well, Dawn Garcia is the founder and editor of ATOD, that's the name of her company, and their mission is inspiring the world to savor every moment. And there's three distinct facets to Dawn's company. First, there's ATOD Magazine, which has two parts. The first one is to support restaurants and chefs all around the world by writing honest reviews in an effort to hold every restaurant to a high standard. And then secondly, to support artists, photographers, filmmakers, and share their story and beauty with everyone, everywhere in the world. Then she has A Taste of Dawn Radio and Digital TV, 2 hours every Wednesday from noon to 2 p.m. Pacific time, discussing the things that make life so wonderfully exciting, passionate, and sexy. Live musical guests, on-air tastings, discussions about anything that has to do with living life fully. And finally, there is ATOD Plus, offering creative publicity and consulting to chefs, restaurants, hotels, and artists in every genre to ensure they thrive. Wow, so she's a busy lady. So let me go ahead and read a little bit from Dawn's biography. Dawn has been writing for 20 years. However, she began food writing in 2010 after being dared, yes, dared, to write a review for a local magazine. Thus began her story of dining out. With a background in film, creative writing, and media, Dawn's passion always comes down to words. She believes the power of words and story can transcend simplicity and create extraordinary. Having dined all around the world ignited something within. 4 continents and 17 countries later, every plate has a history and, more importantly, a voice. Dawn's approach to dining out is not simply to critique the food. She believes that the entire dining experience should be unforgettable, from decor and ambiance to food and service. With a deep love of art, photography, food, wine, hotels, and travel, ATOD Magazine, A Taste of Dawn, was created to help readers find a unique and honest guide to restaurants, visionaries, artists, hotels, chefs, and events around the globe. And I'm going to quote Dawn directly here. She says, "My pen is my voice, the keyboard my outlet. I have been writing since I picked up my first pencil. Words are my refuge. I can be anyone I want. I can speak without restriction. I can be bold. I have 2 13-gallon bins filled with random things I've written since I was 12. I write about the things I am passionate about: the world, eating, breathing, art, photography, film, injustice. Writing is my oxygen. It nurtures my soul. As to how my journey began with ATOD, well, dining out has always been a phenomenon to me. It's extraordinary. Eating out when we were kids was an absolute treat. We would get so excited if we knew we were going to a restaurant. Something about knowing we could order whatever we wanted seemed like Christmas come early. As we get older, eating out takes on an entirely different meaning. Food becomes our escape, a memory made or shared with friends and people we love. It becomes the catalyst in an important business meeting, or even the excuse we need to have a little abandon. However, I still believe there is a kid within us all, the little voice that sees a menu and secretly gets excited that the possibilities are endless and our saving grace is we actually know what's good. Eating out is simply life's way of presenting us with yet another reason to engage our senses. I suppose it was a natural evolution that I began writing about art in every form. It just seemed inevitable." So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I present Dawn Garcia. Hey, Dawn.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Really quick, I just wanted to make a couple corrections before the radio show that I had. I actually stopped doing in June. And I'm focusing more on a web series. So just in case people try to look for it, it's not there. You can find it all on YouTube, all the previous episodes. But
cool. Okay. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. And you can just say ATOD. That's kind of how we refer to it. It's easier than ATOD.
That's true. Well, Dawn, I mean, first of all, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. I think we met on social media, on Twitter, a couple of years ago.
We did, and thank you so much, by the way, for having me on. It's really lovely to be on the air with you, finally, like you said, after all this time.
I know. Well, I've been following, and I believe it was 3 or 4 years ago that we met, and since then, I mean, you have just made such tremendous strides in your business, and it's so exciting to see what you've been able to accomplish, you and the team that you've assembled. So I guess there's so much to talk about, but I guess I first want to ask you, Dawn, how did you get started, and maybe tell us a little bit about that and how this all evolved.
Okay, writing or the company?
Well, let's start with writing, maybe. Yeah, both. Yeah, you know, the beauty of internet radio, we're not restricted by time, and there's no hard breaks, so go for it.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, initially, I always wrote. I mean, as a child, it was something like, I mean, during I mean, when I was really little, like literally as soon as I could start forming words and structuring sentences and things like that, I always found it a much more like healthy release for me, I guess, as a kid. Like I could be really imaginative, and I still love reading Dr. Seuss and Shel Silverstein. And my grandfather was a poet as well as my mother. And so I think I would see them writing all the time. And so it just seemed like a natural form of expression. And it kind of kept me out of trouble until I was a teenager, obviously. what I wanted to do, which I ended up doing, is I wanted to be a makeup artist and special effects technician. I never had any desire whatsoever to write professionally because I just felt it was too personal. And I published a little bit of poetry and stuff like that when I was a teenager, but I just really never thought of it as my profession. And then I worked in film and worked for the absolute best people in the business. I started out and figured I'm very bold, if you haven't figured that one out yet. And I just figured the worst thing they're going to say is no. So I thought, you know, I'm not starting at the bottom. I'm going to start at the top. I'm going to go to exactly who I want to work with. And if they say no, then I'll work my way from there. So I was fortunate, and I got to work with Spielberg, and I worked on the opera with Placido Domingo for 4 operas. And I got to really work. I met George Lucas, and I was supposed to work on Star Wars and all these great people. And so I kind of, in the process of working in film, really just transcended me. And I loved this idea that one person's idea or vision took hundreds of people to put together to create a film or concept. And same thing on the stage and things like that. It was something really lovely to me. And so story, I think, was really deep in me no matter what. And then, when I got hired to work on Star Wars, everything was all set. But I had a niece who at the time was 4 months old and was diagnosed with leukemia. And that just changed everything for me because I couldn't dare leave the country because she was going to have to undergo, you know, she had to do radiation and all these things. And for a baby that little, she was one of the youngest cases they'd ever seen. And so during that time, I really started writing. And then 5 months later, unfortunately, she lost her battle to leukemia. And I think that just spawned something inside of me. And I just felt like I had to do something bigger. I had to do something more important in this world. And I felt like I was given this gift, whatever it is. I don't understand it, but I was given this ability to pour words out. And I didn't feel that hesitation when I wrote. So I really started doing it. And then I stopped working in film. And you can stop me at any time. I'm just trying to give you, like, a quick version. So basically, I decided not to do makeup and effects anymore and went back to school to focus on writing and got a job at BET Network working in advertising. And during that time, a friend of mine had written a treatment for Indiana Jones. And so because I knew Rick McCallum and Lucas, I was invited up to the ranch to pitch them her story. So in the process of doing that, we wanted to go to Coppola's winery. And at the time, initially, it was in Napa. It was in Napa. And then they moved. Now it's in Sonoma. And it was Nippon Coppola at the time, and it was this beautiful, grand, like, Italian estate. And inside was this, you know, film museum, and it was lovely. But as we got there, you know, we got some cheese and whatever. We were sitting outside, and I looked over, and I'm, like, wondering why all these people are crowding all of a sudden, you know. And I see Francis. I'm like, how funny is that? Like, this is my luck, right? Of course, Francis is here. So I start writing about this entire scene, the people, just everything. And so I'm like really, and mind you, it's worth mentioning that at this point I was so desperate to write. Neither one of us had pens. So we searched far and wide to get a pen. So I finally got my pen. And in the middle of, like, the peak of what I was writing, this gentleman comes over and he asked me if he could borrow my pen to get an autograph. And I was like, no, you can't. And he was like, no, you don't understand. I'm like, I totally understand, but I am in the middle of writing and I need this pen. And he was like, you know, so desperate. And I said, do you promise me that you will bring this pen back? Of course. So, of course, the man does not remember to bring my pen back. And as the people disperse, I see on the table this pen. And I'm like, I'm going to get my pen. And my friend thought I was crazy. And I'm like, look, he's finally free, and I could go get my pen. And I was like, you don't have another one, and it's going to take us forever to get one. So I walked over to the table, and he just looked at me and smiled. And, he's just as lovely as you'd imagine. And he's sitting in his Tommy Bahama shirt, smoking a cigar, drinking an espresso, and reading a book. I mean, it was really cinematic in itself. And so I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he said, hi. And I said, hi. And he said, can I help you? And I said, yes. He goes, did you want an autograph? And I said, no. And he says, do you want a picture? And I said, no. And he's like, well, then what can I help you with? And I said, I just want my pen back. And he looked at me just like, what? And I said, I'm so sorry. I was in the middle of writing, and somebody wanted to get your autograph. And I love you, but I really need to finish writing. And I walked away, and I finished my piece and very boldly signed to Francis, signed Dawn Elizabeth Garcia. Totally the reverse of what the moment should have, asked for. So I walked over, and I said, I'm just going to go give it to him, And so I walked over, and I said, well, I was writing, and I figured, you gave me my pen back, so you can just have it. And he sat there, and he read it while we were there, and he folded it up very nicely and put it in his front pocket. And about 10 minutes later, a gentleman walked over that worked at the winery with a copy of Zoetrope Off-Story. He flipped it over to this contest that they were running with Sam Adams and said, someone thinks that you should enter this contest. And I was like, okay. And it was his, obviously, wow. It was Francis. And so I wrote my first short story in 98 and was accepted. I was one of 15 writers to go to Belize. And that really launched everything for me. It was the first time I'd ever completed any piece of fiction. And it was just very, very validating and liberating, really, to, just to be able to have that freedom to just write. And the feedback was so valuable. And then that was kind of it. I stayed in advertising for a little while and then, went through these weird transitions and then moved and had gotten my dream job. I got gotten hired at New Line as a screenwriter and a script reader. But at the time, I was getting engaged and my, we had moved to Orange County. And I had to give up that job. And it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And I thought, oh, my God. I just gave up the one thing I worked so hard for, and moved. And I kind of stopped writing a little bit. And then as the elections came around in 08, I'd had my daughter, and I had started Random Spout, which was a blog that I just really poured out my soul in. And I wrote more socially, politically, and very personally. And it was a great opportunity for me to see what I was capable of doing. And then as the elections came around in 08, a friend of mine who taught at Cal Poly Baltimore sent me a message and said, I just wanted to let you know that you're required text now in the poli sci department. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Wow. And he said, yeah, you have been, your political views and stance, because I was writing very apolitically. But I was really upset that people were getting both candidates and nobody was asking questions. And it was just sort of this recycled, regurgitated, thought process, and nobody had anything productive to say, and people just weren't asking questions. Like, it was such a softball election. And and so then I thought, boy, I have a real responsibility here, because now there's kids paying attention, and then that was kind of it. And then I just really started writing more and then started writing my screenplay and got the dare to write an article about food and alas, here we are. Now I have an online magazine and a creative publicity, and it's been quite the journey.
Fantastic.
And I'm a mom.
Dawn, so inspiring. Oh my gosh. I mean, and I want to ask you about the dare. I want to get to that in a minute, but how did new media sort of enable you to develop your business? And also, I guess I want to ask too, when you decided to strike out and be an entrepreneur, and maybe this is a twofold question, but what were some of the challenges and the joys that you faced? And did people say, were people mostly supportive, or how did that all work out for you as far as like striking out on your own and really saying, I'm going to start a business now because I'm going to take all of this wonderful experience that I've had and all of these things that I've accomplished, and instead of working for someone else, I'm going to strike out on my own?
Well, I think part of it was really a necessity because, the economy is awful, and I was overqualified for a lot of normal positions. And now as a newly single parent, and had to really figure out what I was going to do with my life now, because it was just back to me. I just figured, I don't know. Honestly, that's a tough question, because it was so organic. It was not something that I set out to do. It was definitely in no way, shape, or form. I mean, I was like every other artist out there, and still am, where you start to doubt your abilities. You start to doubt whether or not you are talented. Can you actually make it? Are you doing something that's worth it, or is it just a bunch of fluff? And that pushed me, I think. The more responses I started getting, I mean, when I started the magazine, it was just literally like in 6 months I had written 6 posts on a blog. But because I'm super obsessed with technology and pretty things, I designed a really nice template. So I was like, I am not going to have an ugly blog. And I do a lot of web stuff myself. Like I designed the magazine, and I sit there and I do a lot of it. And now I have help on some of the back-end stuff, but the actual layout and stuff kind of, I don't know. I like presentation to me is everything. I mean, content and quality is obviously more important, but if it's not presented in a way that is easy on the eyes and intriguing as a viewer, then I myself wouldn't want to pay attention to it. but anyway,
exactly.
Not to distract. I think it was really just, for me, it really was just a survival thing. And it's so expensive to try and go out and do print, and print is a dying, unfortunately, although I think it's important. It's a lot to ask for somebody to invest in a print publication. And I didn't even realize that it had the potential to be a publication when I started it. I mean, I just figured it would be this great release for me, and then a lot of people started paying attention, and I thought, okay, maybe there's something to this. And because my background and passion is definitely creativity in every form, and because of my background in film, you know, I used to spend a lot of time in galleries, and music is a huge influence for me. So it just seemed like a natural progression to sort of have all of the things that I felt made life worth living come together, and it just, as a natural consequence, became a business. And I'm able to support so many artists and so many creative people in restaurants and hotels and in my job, even when I'm not happy with how things go. I mean, my job is to, I want everybody to do better. I mean, we live in an entrepreneurial world. There's really no way around it at this point. Corporations are falling apart. You know what I mean? It's a very weird world that we live in. So it's sort of you either reinvent yourself or you get lost. And it's very hard to find companies to work for unless you are very scientific or science-oriented, mathematical, or, you know, you're not – I don't know how to explain this, yes.
Yeah, no, Dawn, I'm in the same boat, so I completely get what you're saying. Absolutely. And I think new media has really played a big role in all of that for creative types like us. But, Dawn, we do have a caller on the line. So if you don't mind, we'll get back to the new technology question. This will be an adventure because I don't have a way of screening calls. I don't have a producer with me today. So let me go ahead and bring this caller. Oh, and they just dropped off.
Okay.
I guess I scared them. I didn't mean to do that.
Oh, no. Call back.
we're very friendly, caller. Please call back.
I know.
so, Dawn, all right. So before that happened, it was talking about new technology, and I think – that, you know, speaking to what you're saying about having to become an entrepreneur, which I agree with you. I think it's really a good thing because I believe you can really challenge yourself personally and professionally by doing that. Now, it's difficult. It's not an easy undertaking, and maybe it's not for everybody. But I think, you know, it can be a really great growth process. And with the advent of all of this new media, I think it's probably easier now in that sense than it might have been, like, you know, 15, 20 years ago. But so what are your thoughts on that, and how do you feel about new technology and all these great new social media platforms that we have?
Well, I'm a huge fan of technology, and I do believe that social media and digital media and digital marketing really are the new way, because people have so many devices, and I think everybody now is on their phones. Most people work from their phones. Most people work from a laptop. Most people are mobile, and honestly, social media is especially social media, it's really important for businesses to thrive. I mean, that's kind of why I did the HOD Plus and why I'm part, you know, why now I have a team of people who do digital strategy and digital marketing and social media marketing, because I see all these businesses and I just don't understand why, you know, somebody who's so well-known in the actual world has no presence online. And so they lose out, you know. And I, not to completely distract, but a really recent thing that just happened was there was an article that was posted on CNN Money about the shortage of wine, that there's this huge shortage of wine and that consumer and demand is sort of outdoing itself. And the problem, I actually think, is then you have all these wineries that are going out of business because they're not selling. And it's because they're not utilizing social media and online marketing, because that is the new way. And so all these people, I'm like, boy, if there's really that demand, then why are they not getting the sales that they need? You know, and that's a very specific example, but I think that's happening in general, is that people are not understanding the power of social media or the power of online marketing. And I think it's important because you have no boundaries online. You don't have to focus just on a city. I mean, my magazine is global, and I love that. I love being able to share a photographer or a work of art or a chef or a restaurant or a hotel somewhere that's completely outside of the normal, you know, geographical region that we're sort of stuck in. And it opens people's, you know, their minds up, and it gives them more opportunity. And because of that, I mean, I would never have been able to do what I do without, you know, online media. There's no way. I mean, and I look at my A Taste of Dawn on Facebook, right? I mean, gosh, a year and a half ago, I barely had 1,000 likes on that page. And just from, like, kind of learning how to communicate with people and, you know, realizing that there's a huge market out there and there are a lot of people out there who want to know about these things and don't have access to it except for online. I mean, they're not going to get a print publication. They don't have access to that. So it allows this, a very, very finite world to somehow be just expansive, you know, and I think that really, to me, I mean, I'm a big fan. You know, yeah. I mean, people ask me all the time if I'm going to go to print, and if I get the right investors and funding, I will, but I won't do monthly. I would probably do it the most quarterly. Because I love still a person who I'm a writer at heart, right? So I love the tangibility. I want to hold something in my hands. I mean, I love a good book. But I'm also like everyone else where I'm limited on time. So do I really want to spend hours and hours and hours having to thumb through? No, I want it to be precise. I want it to be impacting. I want the words that I write to matter. I want the words that my writers write to be impactful and matter as well. And the people that we interview and feature, you know, it has to be gripping. And not to go off track, but I mean, I think that's through the process of being online and using all of these outlets, it has really allowed me to tap into something that no one had tapped into. And that was just by the sheer nature of, I guess, well, who I am and how I see things, is showing the human side of people, the emotional side of who people are, the passionate side about people. I don't know that would necessarily have happened if I wasn't forced to be online all the time, you know, because I can write so much more and I can see so much more and I'm exposed to so much more. And I think that's probably true for you as a writer, for you as a reader, for you as a viewer, in every aspect
Absolutely.
Of life. I mean, you get to see things now online that, I mean, gosh, the things that we can look up in Google and, you know, it's really a phenomenon. And it's a little overwhelming sometimes, on the other hand. I do think that we need to slow down just a little bit because technology is moving a little too fast. And so then we have ADD, ADHD, and all these other little problematic things, you know. When you would ask me, like, how do I stay away from social media, I'm like, I kind of don't know. Honestly, like, I think it's a problem. Like, my daughter, who's going to be 7, is like, okay, Mom, really? I'm like, yeah, I need to get off the phone. I need to get off of Crackbook. I call it Crackbook because it is, you know, it's tricky because you need it, but you also have to have time management and figure out, like, how to balance is tricky, especially with online marketing and online media. I mean, I know you're on Twitter way more than I am. Like, I can't keep up with Twitter. Like, I chose Facebook because I just can't keep up. And for a writer, I'm like, really? 140 characters. I don't think I can do it, you know?
Well, you know, Dawn, it's so, so true. And speaking of time management, and you're a mom also to a beautiful daughter. So, I mean, do you have any tips on how to manage your time with social media and, say, parenting and maybe taking the time to actually write and kind of get off of social media and actually, you know, get your writing done? I mean, do you have any formulas that work for you or you know, how do you handle all of that?
Well, I'm still finding my way, but this year I've really made a point because I was getting, it really is a time vampire, to be honest. And and I was not spending as much time as I needed to away from it. And so really, and I've tried a lot more the last few months because I just thought, I'm like, I am on this thing way too much and texting too much. And I'm like, you know, if I can't talk on the phone, I'm done. Like, you know, people actually have text arguments and there are things that happen via text, business deals. I'm like, no more. I'm done. Like, I have finally kind of thrown in a towel, and I think now I'm trying to really maximize my time because I have so many projects, and they're not going to get done if I'm constantly online. It's just not going to happen. So, I mean, I wake up in the morning, and I don't sleep. That's probably the first thing that I should say. I don't know that it's going to work for everybody. I mean,
that's not very encouraging, Dawn.
I'm sorry. I am a mother, and I am a single mother. So, I mean, my day starts, I got to get my daughter up by 6:30, and we have to get going. And there was a period of time, which I'm actually slowly getting back to, where, because I can work until 2 or 3 in the morning, and then I'm up at 6. And I'm thankful that I can go on very little sleep, but I don't think that's necessarily healthy. So I've been trying to do – I'm going to get back into my routine where I actually try to be in bed by like 11 and then I get up at 4 and I do a little bit of writing. I do a little bit of writing while the world is asleep. And then I can get my daughter, you know, ready. Although, like I said, I mean, we've been tragically late to everything lately. So, but you know, I got to get her to school and it's half an hour away, her school, and then come back and work. And, so I'm trying to, like, I guess my advice would be from my own mass amounts of mistakes and losing too much time is that, you know, set scheduled hours. And while you can't control if things happen, people are going to send messages, just prioritize. Are they really that important? Are these people really that important? And can it wait? Because that's the hardest part for me is I started – to, you know, I'd give so much time to so much stuff and so many people, and I'm like, okay, you know what, but they're not my business. And as much as I love my friends, they know now, like, I want to actually spend quality time with them, not like 2-second phone calls, you know. And, you know, so it's really just, I don't know, how can I say this? I guess I would say really try to plan your day out. And if you're like me and you have, I mean, I technically have, what, 3 businesses, really, plus parenting, which is like the number one business, and a job, I shouldn't say business. It kind of is a business of making sure she's a happy kid. But, you know, I would say really categorize the things in your life. Like, obviously, for me, I mean, my daughter's my world. I couldn't imagine everything that I'm doing is so that she can have a better life because she deserves it. And she's got a great dad who supports us. You know, he's really always involved in her life. It's not like I'm without that part of it. So she's got a good balance. But, you know, I have to make sure that she knows that she's important. And then during the day when I'm working, you know, because I am mobile, and although next year I'll have offices, I work from home or I work out on the go or I'm constantly working from my phone. I think really it's just about figuring out how things should fall into play. I mean, social media, you can't be on Twitter all day long. You can't be on Facebook all day long. I mean, it's so easy to get sucked into news feeds and see what's going on with people. But at the end of the day, your whole day will be gone. And for writers like you and I, then you can't possibly focus. And I do more writing, actually, when my daughter goes to bed. I get more accomplished in those hours. So I tend to write a lot during those times. And then when she's with her dad, I tend to spend a lot of my time just kind of want to shut in and write because, I mean, I have 2 books that I would like to finish and my screenplay I have to finish editing. And so I think it's just, you know, we're procrastinators by nature as creative people. And as many times as we try not to be, you know, you can't be like that in business. You just can't. But it's tricky if your business is creativity. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
So I would say make lists. And honestly, like, the people in your life also have to be understanding that you can't be there all the time. I mean, and I've learned Like, I used to go, oh, well, I'll just take my friends with me when I do tastings, or if I go to an event. Yeah, that's not going to happen because I'm not good company. Because I'm there
looking. You're working.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm there to do what I do, and I love my job, and my job is not just sitting in front of a computer. I mean, I get to go to these incredible tastings. I get to go to screenings, to performances, and for me, that's like soul food for me, and to meet other creative people, I mean, just to hear the stories and see what people do and how much love goes into what a chef really does and how hard it is to run a restaurant or, you know, how hard it is for an artist to have the confidence to let their work be seen. And they could be amazingly talented, but there's a slight hesitation and they wonder if they're even good enough. It's the same thing that every creative person goes through. I think every person goes through that normal self-doubt cycle. And so I think it's really just prioritizing, I guess, and, you know, what is important. I mean, you have the radio show now, right? So I'm sure that interferes with your writing time a little bit, but it might inspire your writing. I mean, you have to break the monotony or you won't be inspired.
Yeah.
But you also can't get super distracted by being on the radio and all the things that that's going to spawn, because that's going to spark, like, you know, if you're like me, that's going to send off, what, 20 more ideas that you're like, oh, my God, I totally want to do that now. I want to do that and that and that. And,
yeah.
You know? I mean,
that's
even
true.
Even on my and it's hard because we're like, God, but that's such a great idea. And I'm like, if I could just write that, oh, my gosh, that would be great. And, you know, but realistically speaking, it's like, okay, what do I actually have? What can I complete? Because there's a lot of things in progress. I would like the end to be on some of these things.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on my seventh edit of my screenplay. Seventh edit. And
wow.
I decided I have like 14 days totally on my own from like Christmas to the 5th of January. And during that time, I have a schedule. I'm like, I'm going to finish the screenplay. I'm going to complete two books, complete them, done, just done. And I'm going to be building a secondary website to publish new fiction for new writers and unpublished authors and create a platform for art that needs to be sold. And, like, I mean, I have all these things that I have planned, but let me tell you, I have to take it every day. It's going to have to be segmented. Otherwise, it's never going to happen. And then, of course, try to have time to maybe go see a movie or see people actually that are human and not online. You know,
you actually have a social life too. Yes,
that's hard. It's really hard. It's been very hard for me. And I mean, I'm not dating. I don't have any of that. I imagine that would probably be a terrible date. But I am trying to like open myself up to find balance because, you know, I do want. I mean, not to get too personal, but that's also the part of my life that I would like to have back. You know, I would love to have like a relationship, parenting and a job and things that I can be really proud of. You know, I want to buy a house in a couple of years, or I mean, ideally I would like to buy it next year. You know, I mean, all these little things that I think you have to have and you cannot have if you don't have balance. It's not possible. It's for our own sanity's sake, you know?
Definitely. Oh, definitely. So I can relate to everything you're talking about. Now, one other aspect of this I wanted to ask you about, in terms of the business, I find that there's, and you kind of alluded to this, but I wondered if we could expand on it a little bit. There's, it seems like with a business, there's sort of like two phases. There's two aspects of it. You know, you're either working on your business or working in your business, meaning you're either like servicing the clients that you do have, but in the meantime, you're still trying to promote your business to get more clients. You know what I'm saying? There's sort of like that balance
mm-hmm.
there. I wondered if you could talk about that a little bit.
Well, honestly, I was trying to do it all, and it's just too hard. Mine grew to such a big rate that, you know, and then I brought on more writers, and I want them to do more. And, you know, like right now we're seeking funding because I think – it's just time. I mean, there's so much value to what we're doing, and the company itself was assessed, and it was a really, really big – I didn't expect it to be, you know, a seven-figure thing. I had no idea. And I realized, oh, my gosh, now that I know that, like, I really have to figure out how to manage all of this. And so, yes, I mean, I spend every waking hour online. Don't get me wrong, working on the magazine, writing new things, organizing how the layout's going to be, and now I'm building glossies and all these other side things that are all part of the magazine. But when I brought on the secondary company, which I'll talk about just for a second, is ATOD Plus. And ATOD Plus was creative consulting because I did have a lot of artists and clients that weren't being well represented, and they didn't have good bios. They don't have good, you know, they have no online presence at all. They don't have the things that I think push everyone. And so there's a the team that I partnered with and brought on is, you know, Shri, his name is Shri Kamthgala, and he is just amazing at digital strategy and digital marketing and things like that. So the things that I'm doing on this side, you know, what they do on the back end is all the things that we were doing by hand but just don't have the capacity to do, which is, you know, you've got to promote, if you're going to publish, right, if you're going to promote a piece that you've written. And again, I don't know, I think a lot of your stuff is more completed. Obviously, you have more of the books completed and all of that. But if you have them online, well, how are you going to let the people know about it? And you have to, for me, like writing an article, well, these, their job specifically, I mean, their job is every single day they're posting on different platforms that are relevant to what you're doing. So if you're going to write about, you know, if you're going to write a mystery, well, they're going to find the top 10 online channels or top 20 online channels. And through those channels, of course, there are forums and communities and things like that that are all talking about the latest mystery book. Well, there's no way that you have the time to think about that. There's just not. And so they do all that. And then, you know, the reason I'm so happy to work with Shri now is that, you know, it's not like a company that you just pass off and that's it. You know, like where he's like an actual partner with me. And they do. Every week they check in. They say, here's what's happening. Here's how you did. No company does that, you know? And that was my thing, was like, I'm too hands-on. Like, I can't just pass over that side of my business to somebody. I can't. It's just, I'm probably a control freak in that respect. And, you know, and I think just having, like, having that extra person that you can, that you know, you can trust with your work that's been out there. I mean, you have, it's really like a publicist in a way. I mean, technically. Yeah. And that, you know, I'm doing that for a lot of other people, but I needed to have somebody do that for me. And I think that's really the tricky part is once you get to a point where you need to get the word out, you have to let go a little bit and you have to find people that you can trust and work with and say, you know what, you know, and I don't want to ever say that I'm a publicist because I just don't have that much time, you know, but I do manage a lot of talented people and say, hey, you know, here's what we need to do. This is what, you know, we got to focus on, and I consult in that respect. But then I'm also the first person out there, like, word of mouth is everything. And if you believe in something or people believe in what you're doing, then you need to encourage them to talk about it, to tell other people, hey, my friend just wrote this book, or hey, have you seen this? And through social media, I mean, that's where social media comes into play again, right, is
yeah.
You don't want to over, you can't oversaturate. You can't. But you got to put the little bug out there and say, hey, you know, plant a seed. Did you happen to see that my friend finished this book? I mean, I edited a book for a friend of mine, and, you know, sometimes you do that and you're like, oh, my gosh, I love you, but this is not up to par, you know. And the books that you love and you're passionate about, you need to be out there promoting yourself. I mean, as an author, supporting other authors, which is obviously what you're doing with your radio show. And the, all those little things factor into how your business is run. I mean, it's, I am online. I am working my butt off. But I also have to take time to make sure that I am giving that to people that I know can say, okay, you just posted this about this article in this place. Let's make sure people know about it. And that's really important. I mean, it's a business. Mm-hmm. And if you want your business to succeed and thrive, it takes a team, you know. You can't be by yourself anymore. And that's the hardest part is because nobody has a lot of money, you know. And, like, that's another reason I was like, oh, my God, I don't have 10 grand to waste on some company that I don't even get to talk to, you know. 300 bucks I could totally handle, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really one of those things where you just kind of have to assess and you have to really think about, like, how can you maximize your visibility? How can you maximize your time and still be passionate about what you do, because if you get too sucked into the business side of it or focusing on advertisers or focusing on all that yourself, you really do lose some of the heart behind what you do. I mean, that was happening to me. So I thought, if I start spending all my time worrying about this, then I can't do what I do. And it was a catch-22. It was like, you know, I need more advertisers. I need to get investors. I need to get all this stuff. But if I do that, then I'm taking away from the one thing I'm asking them to invest in. And so it really becomes this sort of struggle. And that's, again, where you just have to meet the right people and trust the right people, because God only knows we've all been burned, you know. Start building your team. I mean, my writers now, I mean, gosh, I have the most incredibly talented group of writers. And ironically, I mean, I had one female writer and one contributor, but both of them have since gone on to do other things. And I ironically have an all-male staff. And in the beginning, when I look at where they started versus where they are now and how much they've grown, it's wonderful, you know. And with what you're doing, even though it's different, you know, I think surrounding yourself with people that also inspire you will push you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah,
now,
so
Dawn, I don't know if that
you...
answers your question, but...
No, it's fantastic. Absolutely. I want to ask you, too, about, like, the types of artists and authors that you work with. Are these mostly people that are independent, maybe that haven't reached, I don't want to say commercial success, but, you know, in terms of authors, for example, do you work mainly with independently published authors?
The authors that's actually just now sort of coming to fruition. I've worked with Oscar winners and Grammy winners and really established some of the artists that I featured have been in the, you know, Smithsonian, and these are super established writers and yet they still haven't had anybody really give them the platform where they were visible. And so I think that's crucial is with, like, authors that I want to – the writers that I want to take on and people that I want to work with the secondary site that I'm doing. What bothers me as a writer was how much money somebody who was going to help you would take. And you're like, but I just put my life into this. How can you take half? You know, and that was hard. That was really, really hard. And so when I came up with my whole system, I was like, you know what? Honestly, I don't think there needs to be more than 15% ever. I don't think an artist should ever have to give up that much. Unless, of course, I mean, I have an agent and I know, you know, we have our agreements and all that stuff. But it's still, you know, you can't lose your grounding and your footing, because what happens is then you just become this sort of other person in a stack. Like, you have to be able to, again, it comes down to, like, with authors, I want to publish people who have never been published, but I also have a very, very high standard of, to which I hold anybody. So if you can't form a sentence, I can't publish you, period. If you're going to send me a sample of something and you don't have what it takes, I'm going, now if you have potential and you just need to be refined and mentored, that's what I love the most, because not everybody is going to be perfectly grammatically correct. I mean, God, I make mistakes all the time. But, you know, I want to support artists who have vision, who aren't afraid to find their voice. I mean, that was my whole purpose, again, behind all of this, was I wanted to help, especially writers initially, I wanted to help writers find their voice again, because I think what happens is you sort of go through this foundation where you're given these fundamental basics, right, of, you know, how you should be a writer, the opening, middle, close, all that stuff that's very formatted. But in the process of doing that, what happens is writers are so worried about their audience, and they stop writing for themselves. And the best work that you read is when artists are writing for themselves. Writers write for themselves. Artists paint for themselves. People are doing things not, you know, even if you're commissioned to do something, if you can't put your heart into it, it's going to come across.
Oh, yes, it is. You know? That's absolutely true.
And I hate that, because I'm like, I can tell that you're just bored with yourself, and I can't support that. Find your heart, find your passion. And I think I don't know. I mean, that's why I'm like, you know, I don't know if you read that piece that I wrote about the art show that I went to where Lenny Kravitz was the co-host. It was great that Lenny was there, don't get me wrong. I mean, he is a phenomenal artist, and as a writer, I grew up with that. But I got to see these artists I'd never met before and this work that I'd never seen before. And all of a sudden, I became so involved in the little intricacies of their work because in their work, you could feel who they were. And that was from a photograph to a sculpture. And I thought, that's how writing should read. That's how every form of art should read. That's how a plate of food should read. If you can't taste the heart or feel the passion or feel the story, then something's missing. Something's happened. You know, and my goal in whatever I'm doing is to help people sort of find that again. And it's never lost. It's just, and it doesn't really matter. You don't need to be an established writer. I mean, most of the time, is anybody? I mean, if anything has taught us, or the economy and you know, all this craziness that's happening in the world has taught us nothing, it's that nothing is for sure. You can be at the top and you can be at the bottom, but the most important part is not to lose sight of what you do and why you do what you do and just stay true to that. And that, you know, again, I don't know if this is going to answer really your question, but I just feel like for me to want to take on writers and publish writers and support writers or artists in any respect, you know, I want to know that their heart's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, I could care less if you're broke. I could care less if you've been in a Guggenheim. I could care less if you're doing work out of your trunk. It doesn't matter to me. You know, I think what matters more is that people are finally being able to show that part of their soul to the world. And, again, it doesn't really matter what kind of writing it is or what kind of art it is, music, whatever it is. I just feel like supporting that is crucial.
Yeah, oh, I agree, Dawn. And I think the word that comes to my mind is authentic
mm-hmm.
as an artist, as a writer. You know, as I was listening to you speak, and that is so true. And, you know, gosh, I started WriteStream this year in March, and it's been, I've discovered, and kind of like you, though, I'll kind of look into somebody before I bring them on the show and read their book or whether it's online or read some excerpts just to make sure that, because I believe, as much as I believe in really helping independent authors, I also want to make sure that just as you're saying, the authenticity and also the quality is there. So I want to interview people who are sort of unsung talents who have poured their heart into their work, as you say, and have also taken the time to make sure that it's edited properly, that it reads well, that it's grammatically correct. So it's, you know, I think the thing with self-publishing, which I like to refer to as independently publishing, it's a fantastic thing. I mean, absolutely, it's been a huge blessing for writers. But on the other hand, I think the danger is people not taking the time to make sure
mm-hmm.
that what they're putting out there is the best it can possibly be.
Oh, yeah. No, I get really frustrated as an editor from that because I'm like, you know what? If you don't care, I can't care. Period. If you
yep.
don't have the integrity as an artist, I won't support you. And that's just the way it is. I mean, I have been offered so much money to do certain things for different companies, and I've turned it down because I'm like, no, I cannot support you. You don't have integrity. I can't do it. And to me, I mean, a lot of people probably find that to be crazy, but I just can't support. I can't support anything that I myself wouldn't be behind. I just can't. And that, again, I mean, when I feature people in a magazine, or I'm writing about a hotel, I mean, there's some places I've gone to where they've gone above and beyond to take care of me, but the experience was so half-assed that I was not going to share that with readers. And rather than, like, tear somebody down publicly, which I don't find to be in any way constructive, you know, I'll send a note and say, you know, really, you got to work on where this is coming from, and here's where you need to really fix things and be more attentive, and that is to your writing or to a restaurant or whatever. I mean, I think the fundamental basis of all of this, of the magazine, of the publicity, of being so visible online, all of that, I mean, you have a sense of responsibility, period.
Mm-hmm.
As an artist, you have a responsibility to the people who are willing to open themselves up to experience what you're sharing. And if you don't have enough respect for the people that are out there, the people that you do business with, the people that you promote the people that you read, the people that you support, and the things that you're putting out on your own, you really shouldn't be doing it, period. You know?
Yeah,
and that's my opinion. So I do hate, the self-publishing thing is fine and all, but I do feel like what happens is there's just all these things out there that are not quality, you know, and that's really frustrating. And if it's truly good, then a publishing house will pick it up. And, you know, and that's the other thing, is just because you self-publish, your job's not ended because you're published. I mean, from that point forward, you really need to start promoting that, and you need to start sending it to publishing houses and really promote. If you believe in what you're doing, then you have to go out there, and you have to be open to the criticism, which is always the hardest thing. And you had asked me before, by the way, if there were naysayers. Oh, my gosh. I get hate mail. Trust me. I have gotten some awful, awful messages that,
really?
Like, have left me in. Oh, my God. I've gotten so many things that have left me in tears. Like, you know, it's terrible. It's terrible. And then they attack me personally. And, you know, and then, of course, being a woman in this business, imagine the flip side of that. It's disgusting sometimes. But, you know, thankfully, in spite of all the crap that happens, there's also really beautiful, wonderful things that happen. You know, like I connect with someone like you, or I get exposed to some new artist or something. I mean, so, you know, I just look at the emails that I get that say, wow, you've inspired me, or you encouraged me to finally start writing, or that's the purpose behind it. So as many people are going to hate it. And there are people in my own life who are like, you know, creativity is a joke because it's not a 9-to-5. It's not a...
Oh, yes, I can relate to that, Dawn.
Oh, trust me, I know, we're all just big dreamers, and, you know, we got to have a real job, and it's like, yeah, except for who are people that made all these things possible? People who dared to think outside the box. I mean, we wouldn't have houses or electricity or basic fundamental things that we are used to if somebody did not say, you know what, why don't we do this? Let's go against the grain. So I'm a big supporter of going against the grain. And there, you know, there's always going to be people out there who don't support it. And you know what? Whatever. Let them sit in their own stuff. And they're just not happy with their own lives, or they didn't have the courage to try. Or maybe they just don't like it, and that's fine.
Well, and Dawn, you hit on something I think is really important. I think that's also the motivation probably, or at least maybe partially, behind some of the hate mail. It's like other people don't like to see – some people, I should say, don't like to see others like you, you know, actually going after your dreams and having the courage to get out there and make it happen. And so they have to build themselves up by, trying to tear you down. And, you know, I think that's probably where a lot of it comes from. And also, there's also old-fashioned jealousy, unfortunately, nature.
No, it is. I mean, recently, I know we're probably, are we running out of time? I think we are.
We have a few more minutes.
Okay. No, I mean, it's funny. I mean, you get that, and you just have to take it. I mean, I get it personally, too. Like, I do business with people, and if you do business with men, like, you have to just, like, I'm saying this on the air now, so I guess my secret's going to be out. But, like, for a while, I would pretend I had a fake boyfriend, or I was, you know, engaged or something, because it was such a distraction from getting work accomplished. And that is a very unfortunate thing, because I am a super nice, friendly person. And at the same time, like, I'm passionate about what I'm doing. And that happens when you're like, great, now I can't work with that person, you know, because I can't cross that line, can't be crossed, you know.
Right.
And it is tricky. I mean, not to be all, you know, women's label on you, but I do think that, you know, we just have to be really conscious, I think, and that's what it comes down to. And there's going to be people that are not going to support being creative, and that's okay. But the general public is supportive. I mean, and that's kind of what you have to take away with it is, you know, the general populace does support what I'm doing, and people that don't, you know what, then they don't have to read it. And the fact that they take the time to send me a message that's not nice, you go, wow, you must not have a lot to do in your life. You know, like, all the energy that people spend on stuff like that could be used in so many other ways. And it actually takes more energy to be negative and mean than it does to just be happy and supportive. And, you know, I am like you in that I love supporting women, men, I could care less. Like, if you are doing something and you're following your dream, then that is worthy of applause, period. You know, and it's, yes. It takes a lot of courage to do that. And, you know, so that's it.
Well, no, I absolutely applaud you, Dawn. And I just want to say, you know, just in close, I mean, you're so inspiring. I mean, congratulations on everything you've been able to accomplish. And before I let you go, though, I want to just let everybody know where they can find you.
Right.
For anybody listening that might want to be able to connect with you online.
Okay. And I'm just going to give like a little plug here because the two people that I've partnered with this year have just been phenomenal. So I just want to say really quick, Chef's Roll, if you guys haven't gone there, it's this huge chef network, culinary network, so it's chefsroll.com, and then Digital Market Labs does all the digital marketing, and they're phenomenal. But for me, you can find my magazine online at atodmagazine.com, and ATOD stands for A Taste of Dawn. So it's atodmagazine.com. For the creative consulting, it's atodplus, so it's atodplus spelled out .com. On Facebook, it's A Taste of Dawn, A-T-O-D. Twitter, A Taste of Dawn. Instagram, Dawn Garcia. YouTube, Dawn Garcia, A-T-O-D. And I think Pinterest is A Taste of Dawn. So I'm all over the place.
Excellent. Well, that sounds awesome, Dawn.
I just wanted
go
to
ahead,
say thank you, too, Daria. No, I just wanted to say thank you so much for having me and for everything that you do. And I'm really proud to know another creative woman who's following their dreams, and so I've really watched you do so much and accomplish so much too in the last 3 or 4 years, and congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you, Dawn, and I hope, you know, you and your family have a wonderful holiday, and you know what, Dawn, when you finish that screenplay and those books, we're going to have to bring you back on here to talk about them in 2014, so let's plan for that.
Absolutely, and have a wonderful holiday too, and be safe if you're traveling. Where are you? You're on the East Coast, right?
Yes, I'm actually in South Florida, but I grew up in Pennsylvania, and I moved down here in 94, so I tend to go back for the holidays because my family's all still up there, so I'll be heading towards the snow, excuse me, on Friday, but it'll be fun to see everybody. But yeah, I'm definitely a weather girl.
Yes, I'm in California, so I can't say I'm not. Okay, well, and just to everybody that's listening, make sure you guys really live your life well and sip great wine, take chances, eat yummy food, try new things, travel to places you've never been, read a book you couldn't imagine reading, take in a gallery, listen to a song, just do something that's going to kind of get you out of your normal routine and live life well. And that's it.
Well, amen to that. Well, thank you so much, Dawn, and we'll be talking to you soon, and I'll definitely see you out there on social media.
Absolutely, and make sure I'll tell everybody to follow you. I mean, I already have that, but you want to say really quick for my listeners, tell them where to find you?
Oh, sure, yes. They can find me at my blog, DariaDiGiovanni.com. I'm also on Facebook. You can also find anything about RightStream at RightStream Radio Network on Facebook, and I'm on there as Daria Ann, A-N-N-E, author, so they can find me there. And one other quick website, which has links to all of the social media platforms for RightStream, is rightstreamradio.com. And Dawn, I might as well say too, I'm in the process of booking guests for 2014. I've got January and February booked, and I'm working on March, April, and beyond. So if there's anybody out there, any author talent that might be interested, you know, please connect with me, and I'd be more than happy to talk to you about that.
Absolutely. I do have a few people in mind that would be great to be on.
Excellent.
So I'll email you. All right, cool. Well, thank you. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful week and happy holidays.
You too. Take care. Thanks again, Dawn.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, everybody, that was the wonderful Dawn Garcia. Please visit her online. And we are going to go ahead now and take a quick break. I just have a few announcements before I sign off today. So I am going to take a break with a lovely, talented, independent artist, friend of mine named Ava Aston, and play her beautiful ballad, I Carry You With Me, and we will be right back.
Left to sit and wander. Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, energy healer, intuitive, and the author of the book, Just Believe. I'm also a host on the RightStream Network. My radio show is called Just Believe and airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Please stop by my website at www.lisatarvis.com. That's LISATARVES for details on all the services I offer, information on my book, and my radio show. There are many amazing guests and fascinating topics scheduled for the show in the upcoming months. I look forward to connecting with you soon.
Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network. Tune in to Military Monday with host John D. Gresham, author, military historian, and journalist. John delves into a unique aspect of U.S. military history, as well as current events and issues affecting our men and women in uniform. Featuring exceptional guests, military experts, and authors, Military Monday with John D. Gresham entertains, informs, and encourages listeners to support those who put it all on the line for freedom. Military Monday with John D. Gresham. Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network.
You're listening to the RightStream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at RightStream and hashtag RightStream. Thanks for listening to the RightStream Radio Network.
And hi, everybody. We are back. This is your host of RightStream Tuesday, Daria Ann. We just had a wonderful interview with the amazing Dawn Garcia. So if you missed that first half, this show will be archived, as all of our shows are here on Blog Talk Radio. So I will promote it out when we go off the air and encourage you to listen, because Dawn, she's so inspiring, and she offered a lot of great advice for fellow creative people and entrepreneurs. So just thrilled that she was able to join us today, and hope that you will take the time to listen. In the second half here, I just wanted to take some time out to thank all of the people involved in RightStream. This is going to be my last show, actually, my last RightStream Tuesday show of 2013, because a week from today it's Christmas Eve, and then the following week is New Year's Eve. So I'll probably play a rebroadcast next week and the week after, but since this is my last live RightStream Tuesday of 2013, I thought it was only appropriate to just take a minute to thank the people who have helped me turn this into a success, and the same people who are going to help us take it to the next level in 2014. And they are Lisa Tarvis, who is the author of the book Just Believe and the host of Just Believe here on the RightStream Radio Network on Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then there's John D. Gresham, who is an accomplished author, journalist, and military historian who has appeared as a consultant on so many broadcasts that you may turn on the History Channel one night or the Military Channel and see John's face there offering his insights on a particular period of military history. And both John and Lisa, when I approached them back in March of this year about starting this network, well, maybe it was February, and we launched the network in March, but there was absolutely no hesitation. They both just enthusiastically joined me. They understood what I was trying to do, and together we're really working to grow the network. So we started out with three shows back in March of this year, Just Believe, Military Monday, and RightStream Tuesday. And then in August, we added Family Power Hour with my good friend and licensed clinical psychologist, Dr. Billy Eisenberg, and family law attorney, Sheena Benjamin Wise. And because I wanted a show on the network that would address relationship and family issues, but in a talk show kind of open forum concept where people can call in and share their experiences and best practices and things that have helped them with a particular issue. And so every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, Family Power Hour takes on a specific topic, and they bring in experts on that particular topic each week. They tend to be from South Florida because the show, both hosts are based here in South Florida. But the issues are timeless, and as Dawn was saying with the Internet, it really doesn't matter where you are. I mean, every show is worldwide. But Dr. Billy and Sheena, they'll talk about different things like cyberbullying, teen suicide, human trafficking, things that are serious, things that we all need to know about. They might not necessarily be happy topics, but they're certainly things we all need to understand so that we can have the tools we need to cope with them. They also do fun shows like Dating After 50 and shows about music, and they offer their unique perspective based on their experience. So Family Power Hour joined the RightStream Radio Network on August 28th, 2013, and they've been doing an outstanding job. So I want to thank my host, Dr. Billy and Sheena, for that. Then Lisa Tarvez and I came up with a concept for a women's lifestyle show, which debuted on RightStream Radio on November 29th of this year, and it's called Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. And just as the name suggests, it's a fun kind of happy hour show where we encourage women to kick off your shoes, pour yourself a glass of wine or a cup of tea or whatever the beverage of your choice, and tune in with the girls and let's just hang out for a couple hours and let's talk about different things that affect our lives. So whether it's fun things like fashion and home decor and decorating for the holidays and cooking, or more serious things like relationships and how to deal with difficult people. We recently had a show about that. We bring on guests that kind of help us explore these different areas and basically all facets of a woman's life. It's a fun show. We may touch upon some serious things, but we really try to keep it fun and lighthearted. We encourage people to call in. We've had some wonderful guests. Last week we had Kara Hawkins, who has started her own successful copywriting business. Prior to that, we had Marie Dubuque. And she is an etiquette expert, and she has these fabulous videos on YouTube. And we talked a lot about dealing with difficult people, especially during the holidays, because with the holiday season coming up, it's a safe bet that most people are going to have to deal with at least one difficult person that they might not normally have to deal with the rest of the year. So we had a lot of fun with that show. And, of course, we launched with Tiffany Jamison Vanderlock, and that was a great show too. She's the founder of Yay Me, and that was a fun show. So I just again wanted to thank all of my hosts, John D. Gresham, Lisa Tarvez, Dr. Billy, Sheena, and also Kristen Fetterman, who is one of the co-hosts of Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, along with Lisa Tarvez and me. Kristen's only 19 years old, and she's just doing a great job with the show. Love having her on. She's a lot of fun. And I know the show has been a big hit. It's been kind of our fastest growing show so far. But we do have plans to add yet another program in 2014 in our effort to reach 7 broadcasting days out of 7 days of the week. And that's going to be a tech show that's going to talk about technology trends and what's coming up. And John Gresham, who is also a video game designer, has graciously agreed to start the search for a host for this technology show, which will most likely air on Saturday mornings. John, if you're listening, thank you so much for taking this on. I'm eagerly awaiting your suggestions and hope that we'll be able to launch this show sometime in the first quarter of 2014. But we felt that it was important. I mean, I talk a lot about social media on this program, but we felt that technology, and Lisa was really the one that came up with this idea, but in speaking with her, she said, you know, we don't have a technology show, and that's sort of another industry, another area that's pretty relevant in most people's lives these days. And it would be kind of fun to have a show that talks about technology trends. And I want to point out, it's not a help desk. It's nothing like that. It's just we're going to have some technology experts talking about what's coming up and what to look for, and sort of take the broader perspective on all things having to do with technology. So stay tuned for that. And we are also in the process of conjuring up a 7th show for the network. And we hope, you know, but my goal is that by April of 2014, we will be broadcasting 7 days a week. But I want to thank everyone for their support and remind you that you can find out more about all of our shows and hosts at our website, which is rightstreamradio.com, and there you'll find social media buttons that will take you to our LinkedIn page, our Facebook page, our Twitter account, and our Pinterest account. So I hope you'll visit us there. You can also find me at Twitter at Daria Ann. That's D-A-R-I-A-A-N-N-E. Follow our tweets at hashtag RightStream. My blog is DariaDiGiovanni.com. Check that out. I have an author page on Facebook, Daria Ann, A-N-N-E, DiGiovanni, author. I hope you'll like me there. And I just want to put a plug in for a few of the clients that I am working with as well before we sign off today. On November 22nd, we released Reflections on the Ring, An Ordinary Woman's Extraordinary Tale of How She Saved Her Marriage and Family. And it's funny, Dawn was talking earlier about, you know, having all this unfinished business kind of out there and wanting to get things done. This was one of those projects for me because I actually wrote this book for Lori about 3 years ago. And for very personal reasons, she put it on hold for a while. And so I saved the manuscript in my computer and waited until she was ready. And finally, she was ready this summer. So we went through a lot of revisions. And we finally released the book on November 22nd. So please check out her blog, which I set up for her, at www.reflectionsontheRing.wordpress.com. And also want to point out, if you're looking for a great book for kids, I'm helping out author Balaj Saba with his fabulous book, Tweezer Beezer. It's a story of a mina bird that adopted a family after a hurricane in Hawaii. And you can like Tweezer Beezer on Facebook and follow him on Twitter at Tweezer Beezer. And hopefully, you know, really encourage you to support Balaj because he's doing excellent work and he's an internationally acclaimed artist, author, and a man of many talents. And this book is just the perfect gift for kids and adults, you know, kids of all ages and animal lovers. Just a heartwarming story. And the book is filled with a lot of Balaj's original artwork, as well as endearing family photographs. So it's just it's a joy to read. It really is. And it's filled with timeless life lessons. So please check that out. And just to let everybody know as well, I'm pretty excited, speaking about wrapping up projects, I'm working on a book. I've been ghostwriting a book called Steps to Salvation for the last couple of years now. And we're finally kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And this book will be published in early 2014. And I'm in the process right now of working with a graphic designer. And we'll have a book cover and a logo soon. So I'm going to be getting the blog set up very soon and the social media accounts. And I'll be starting to promote that in the next couple of weeks. But very excited about it. I think this book is going to have a huge impact and is really going to change the way people think. So very excited. I see that I have a caller on the line. Not sure who this is. It's a Skype call. But let's see who's there. Welcome, caller. Hello, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hi, this is Daria. Caller, are you there?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, hi. This is Daria. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. I guess you can't hear me.
Yeah, I'm having a little trouble breaking up.
Okay, well, I can hear you just fine. It must be, I don't know if it's your connection. How are you? Who is this?
My name is Jason.
Hi, Jason.
How are
you? Do you have a question or a comment?
I actually have a question.
Okay.
I just joined in on the show. I'm not really sure. Okay, so...
Okay, you know, I think Jason is one of those people Dawn was speaking about that maybe doesn't understand somebody else's desire to live their dreams and pursue their business. So, Jason, good riddance. Thank you for calling in. And as I was saying, ladies and gentlemen, I'm working on a book called Steps to Salvation, which I think is going to have a huge impact on people. I'm very, very excited about it. So please look for that first quarter of January. I'm collaborating with a designer tomorrow to talk about the book cover and the logo, and we'll soon be getting all of the social media up and running for this client, and I'm really excited about it. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in today. It was a great show. If you missed Dawn's interview, everything is archived, and as a matter of fact, if you've missed any interviews on the RightStream Radio Network, just go to blogtalkradio.com/RightStream, and you can find all of the archives. So everyone, have a wonderful, have a Merry Christmas, have a Happy New Year, and I'm excited about 2014. I've got a lot of great guests booked. I've already booked January and February. My first guest of the new year is going to be Patrice Patrice Lyle, and she writes fiction that promotes holistic healing, so I'm very excited about that. So you can follow her on Twitter at Patrice Books. And until then, again, everyone, have a Merry Christmas, have a Happy New Year, and we will see you back here for Write Stream Tuesday on January 7th. God bless.